we'll see what the Word of God has for us this morning. Memorial Day history in the U.S. dates back to the Civil War in the 1860s. Back then, it went by a different name called Decoration Day, named for the tradition of decorating soldiers' graves with flowers and flags. It evolved to what is known as Memorial Day following World War I. Decoration Day originally honored by only Civil War soldiers, but the holiday took on a greater meaning of all fallen U.S. service members as the United States entered into its next major conflict, World War I. The American Civil War represented an unprecedented conflict in the United States, and it claimed more lives. I believe it was 620,000 men than any other U.S. war. Many lost loved ones whom they sought to honor and remember, and people often showed their love by laying flowers on the soldiers' graves. Communities gathered together to mourn their losses, and this led to Decoration Day. John A. Logan, the leader of a Union Veteran Society, is often hailed as the person that started Memorial Day. He first called for May 30th to become a national holiday in 1868 to remember those whose body now lay to rest in almost every city, village, and hamlet churchyard in the land. By 1890, every northern state had made Decoration Day an official holiday. On May 1st, 1865, a group of 10,000 former slaves gathered following the conclusion of the Civil War. Together, they honored 257 Union soldiers who were buried in a mass grave. Waterloo, New York is sometimes referred to as Memorial Day's birthplace. The city held community-wide events for the holiday starting in 1866. The entire community came together. Mary Ann Williams of the Ladies Memorial Association of Columbus also called for a national holiday in March of 1866. Several southern states started celebrating on April 26 after her letter to women in the South. Memorial Day now is observed on the last Monday in May as a federal holiday in the United States. Originally, Memorial Day was held on May 30th, but the day's later change turned it into a three-day weekend. To make the change, Congress passed the Uniform Monday Holiday Act, which took effect in 1968. Eventually, Memorial Day was extended to include fallen soldiers from all American wars. In 1971, Congress declared it a national holiday, changing the observance from May the 30th to the last Monday of May. Understand this morning, war is fought and has been fought throughout all ages. War is fought for one of two reasons, either to bring captivity or to bring freedoms. Freedom's not free. Someone gave their life so that you and I can enjoy the freedoms that we have today. But today I hate to say that our freedom is under attack. Approximately 1.3 million soldiers have given their lives of the United of 1.3 U.S. soldiers million U.S. soldiers have given their life for our freedoms. The giving of life and the shedding of blood has brought our freedoms. But the greatest freedom that was ever, or the greatest life that was ever given, that brought the greatest freedom that could ever be given, was by a man by the name of Jesus, who gave His life on the cross of Calvary so that you and I might be free. The Bible said, "To whom the Son has set free is free indeed." Thank God for the liberties and freedoms that we have as a citizen of the United States of America. But thank God for the liberty that we have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank God we're free from the penalty of sin. We're free from the punishment of sin. And one of these great days, we're going to be forever free from the presence of sin. Sin has no dominion over us anymore. We've been given victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I have a message to tell today. No, message number one, we have a message to tell those of a younger generation of the blood of those men and women that shed, that died, that they shed, the blood that was shed, and the life that was given, that we as a country might celebrate and have the freedoms that we have today. They're ignorant to it. They don't know it. They're changing our history books. They're changing our educational books. They're changing in what is being taught in our school system. And understand today, we have a duty and an obligation to educate those of the younger generation of the importance of the American soldier and that how he gave and fought for our freedoms today. But greater than that, we've got an opportunity and a privilege and a responsibility to tell those who are held captive by Satan and the powers of hell that there is freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God. Genesis chapter number 14, the Bible says this. And it, verse number 1, and it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, and Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Bersha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, Shemember, king of Zebulun, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. All these were joined together in the Vale of Siddim, which is the Salt Sea. 12 years they served Chedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled. And in the 14th year came Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him and smote the Rephaims and Ashtaroth, Carnium and the Zumans and Ham and the Emmons and Shaveth and Kerethim. And if that's not right, you can correct me when you go out the door. And the Horites and their Mount Seir unto El Paran, which is by the wilderness. And they returned and came to En Mishpat, which is Kadesh, and smote all the country of the Amalekites and also the Amorites that dwelt in Hazazon Tamar. There went out the king of Sodom, and the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Admon, the being of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, the same as Zoar. And they joined battle with them in the Vale of Siddim, with Chedorlaomer, the king of Elam, with Tidal, king of nations, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, 4 kings with 5. And the Vale of Siddim was full of slime pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, and fell there, and they that remained fled to the mountain. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped and told Abraham the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided against him He divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Haba, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and he also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, God, for the privilege, God, that you give us to be in the house of God this morning. Father, I pray, God, Lord, that you would take us and use us, Father, today for your honor and, Lord, your glory. God, I pray you'd touch us and help us, Lord. I pray that you'd be at the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you'd magnify yourself in this service. I pray that you'd help us to see that, God, that there's a duty of war. And God, there's a duty of a soldier. And God, Lord, is to, Lord, to bring relief, Lord, to those held captive. Thank you, Father, again, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Watch over us and protect us. Lord, thank you again for this day. In Jesus' name I humbly pray. Amen. All right. Did anybody see? Y'all see my water bottle? If I got my man eyes on. There it is. Thank you. This is the first war recorded in history. The first war that was ever recorded in history is here in Genesis chapter number 14. This first war is about some evil kings going in and taking captive certain people. These kings were descendants from Nimrod. Nimrod is where all the evil religions of the world came from. Nimrod was a mighty hunter. Nimrod had a mother. Her name was Semiramis, and now that is the Mary of the Catholic Church. You'll find that Nimrod was under his direction and leadership that the Tower of Babel was built, and God came in and dispersed the nations abroad. You can find that in Genesis chapter number 10. These same kings and their names, not these same kings, but the names of their land is mentioned as control under Nimrod. Nimrod is, you study, like I say, he is everything against God. You get to study him, the Nimrod and the false religions, and they all go back there to him. But anyway, we see that the importance of that is that there's always been a battle of good and evil. There have always been a battle of those that wanted to come in and take control and make captive certain people or certain souls. And as we see this, that we see the captives of this war, look in verse number 12. The Bible says here, "And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed." Now, understand this. This is before Genesis chapter number 18 and 19. This is before even before Lot separated himself toward the well-watered plains of Jordan. But you will find here that it was right after Lot there lift up his eyes and went there to the well-watered plains of Sodom. And or the Jordan there in land, into the land of Sodom. And that's in verse chapter number 13. And we find here that these wicked kings, they came in, and there was five of them. There were five of these great kings, and they came together, and they was running rampant over the country of that day. They were going in, and you can find there in verse number 5, verses 1 through 3, about they made war, and then verses 5 through 9 talks about the same. And notice here, the Bible says there, and they came, look in verse number 5, in the 14th year, and Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with them smote the Rephaims. There's one group. Then they smote Carnum. There's another group. And they smote the Emmams in verse number 5. There's another group. And they smote the Horahites in Mount Seir under El Paran, which is by the wilderness. And they returned and came to Mizpah, which is Kadesh, and smote all the country of the Amalekites. There's the next group. And the Amorites. There's the next group. And there went out the king of Sodom and the king of Moab and the king of Admah and the king of Zeboam and the king of Bala, and they joined battle with them in the veil. Understand this, they were under the rule, Sodom and Gomorrah was under the rule of this king, but in the 13th year they rebelled. 13 is always the number of rebellion, alright, just understand that. But the 13th year they rebelled, and they said, "We're not going to live under this tyrant anymore." And as they rebelled, guess what? When you rebel against an authority and you rebel against a tyrant, guess what? He's going to bring all the forces that he has and that is available for him down upon you. And that is exactly what has happened. And they came and they confiscated Sodom and all that was in Sodom. And just so happened there was a young man by the name of Lot that had found himself in Sodom. Now understand, Lot was not of these descendants. Lot was not there, not a descendant of Sodom. He was not a descendant of that country, but Lot had found himself in that position and that place. Now Lot had got there by his own choosing and in his own choice. It was not there that God had forced him to go there, but because of his own choosing and his own choice, Lot became captive by someone that was evil. May I say unto you this morning, the Bible tells us that they may recover themselves out of the snares of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. It doesn't take you long to open your eyes and look around and see that there are multitudes today that are held captive by a reigning tyrant that is doing nothing but ruling and reigning over them. He's not for their liberties. He's not for their freedoms. Beloved, he's enslaved them to their bondage. They have no clue of what to go on. They have no resources how to get themselves out. They have found themselves captive in this war. And if I say today, and I ask you today, who's the first person that comes to your mind that is held captive today in their sin by the enemy? Who's that person today that first person that comes to your mind right now that's being held captive by that reigning tyrant? The devil. Who's taken captive by him and his will? He has no mercy. He has no grace. He wants everything that he's got and more. He's wicked. He's deceitful. He's the devil. There's nothing good about him. There's nothing good to those that are following him. We know that the life that he has to offer is a life full of destruction. It's a life full of slavery. It's a life full of depression. And understand today, they are taken captive by him at his will. The Bible says this, and of some having compassion, making a difference. And others, saved with fear, falling out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. The Apostle Paul wrote this, and he said to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, to turn from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Paul says, my job is to go and fight for them. Remember, he said, I want to fight the good fight of faith. Remember, he said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. He says, there are those that are held captive by the enemy. And he says, I want to do all that I can as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ to go and rescue them and to turn their eyes from darkness into life, to let them see the liberty that is available in Christ Jesus. You know, that's what we ought to do today. That ought to be our heart's desire. Thank God for these men that went and that bled and died for our freedom. And thank God for these veterans that came back home. And beloved, that they still went and they went and gave their life for our freedom. But may God help us today see a cause today. Beloved, as David went down to the battlefield there that day and Goliath was told in there, I'm the children of God, and he had enslaved them in their captivity because they were too scared to fight. They were too scared to move. But David went there to the battlefield day and said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? May I say unto you today, that person that the Holy Spirit of God put your mind on a while ago, is that person not a worthy cause for you to fight for? Is that a person that is not a worthy cause for you to get up every morning and put on the whole armor of God and beloved to go and to try to do that, be your best to rescue that soul that's in need? There's captives in this war. And guess what? That captive is Lot sitting there that day. I imagine whether he was in prison or was in a prison camp, I don't know. But just bear with me, my imagination for just a moment. But I imagine he was remembering the days that he walked with his father Abraham. I remember he probably remembered the days that he stood there in the well, looked there on the mountain that day towards the well-watered plains of Jordan. He looked down there to Sodom, and he chose Sodom instead of the good way, the well-watered plains of Jordan. And he departed from that man who had enough care and concern for him to bring him out of the land of the Chaldeans, where his father and his mother were still worshiping Namor, the moon god. And he thought, man, if I could just get news to Father Abraham. If I could just get news to him. See, he had talked highly of Abraham. He knew that Abraham was a good man. He had shared with others that Abraham was a good man. You say, how do you know that? I'm going to show you in just a moment. May I say unto you today, there are those in this world that are held captive by the devil. They know where the good and the right way is. And they're expecting me and you to come get them. They're expecting us. There's a longing in their heart for somebody to come rescue. As they were sitting around the camp that day, of the prison camp, or however it was, somebody overheard Lot say the name Abraham. And if I could just get to Abraham, are you listening to me? If I could just get to Abraham, he'd surely do something for me. And that young man, whoever he was, maybe he was an older man, he says, I don't really know who Abraham is, but I've heard of him. And look in verse number 13. And when Abraham, or verse 13, "And there came one that had escaped and told Abraham the Hebrew." Aren't you glad for somebody that interceded for you? There was this man, and he didn't know Abraham, but he knew who Lot, and he knew who he had heard of Abraham by Lot's discussion, and he escaped from the hand of the enemy, and he got to Abraham, and because Lot had heard, if Abraham could just hear, if my uncle Abraham could just know what was going on, then surely he would come and help me. As I said this morning in Sunday school, who's counting on you to pray him out of harm's way? Paul was counting on Philemon to pray him out of harm's way. But notice this man this morning, there was one that escaped and he came to Abraham. There's a cry for help. Do you understand today there are those that's living in captivity in the United States of America, and I'm not in Cleveland, Georgia, in White County. I'm not talking about being held captive by the king of Cheddar Loma or none of those other kings, but I'm talking about being held captive by the enemy himself. And there are those that are waiting for somebody to come rescue them. And beloved, understand, there's a cry for help. Understand, Abraham was a person that was called by God. He was a representative of God, and he's a great type of the church in this passage of Scripture, because understand this, he was the only representative of God on earth at that time. There wasn't another. And right now, the church is the only representation of God on this earth at this time. And God help that when someone would come to the house of God to cry for help, that we would turn a deaf ear. God help that when someone would come and cry out for help and let us know, hey, there's somebody that's in distress. There's somebody that's in need. May I say to you this morning, there are many multitudes there that are being held captive against their will by the Satan, because they have willfully, beloved, fell into the captivity of the devil. Understand, war is always about two things. Always. Freedom and captivity. You say, well, no, it's about money. No, it's about freedom and captivity. If that place over there has better resources and it has more minerals and more gold and more oil or more lithium, guess what? This country here wants to put that country in captivity so they can have all the resources and have the people to do it. But then you have the other side, that this side over here is going in and trying to relieve and trying to free those that are held captive. All war is, that's the only two reasons war takes place. And understand, as we celebrate Memorial Day and those soldiers have went and fought and they gave their life that we might have freedoms today, thank God for that. But understand this morning, beloved, I'm talking about being a soldier of the cross, and there are those today that are held in captivity. And you say, well, preacher, I don't want to be a soldier. Too bad. The Bible says, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier. The Bible says there is no discharge from this war. There, you can't go AWOL because the Holy Ghost is going to find you. You say, well, I don't want to fight. Well, too bad. There's no discharge.
Amen.
The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. There is no discharge from this war. When you got saved, you got enlisted. You got drafted. Amen? But you got drafted willingly. You just didn't know everything you was going to get involved with. Amen?
Amen.
He said, I am the door. And man, all you knew was you wanted in the door. You didn't want to die and go to hell. You wanted in the door. But you didn't know everything that's going to take place on the other side of the door. But understand, we've got a duty and an obligation, because there are those that are crying for help, and there are those that are sent that God has put into our life, and we hear the cry of their help. Now here's the thing. There's a choice to be made. Not only do they cry for help, there's a choice to be made. Look what happened. When Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants. Abraham had to make a choice with the news that he had just received. Well, so-and-so's down there all caught up in sin. He's found in captivity. Well, I hate it for him. He shouldn't have been down there in Sodom.
Good enough.
He got what he deserved. He stayed out of Sodom.
Amen.
I tried to tell him not to go down there.
Right.
If he just stayed at the house with me, he stayed with me, he got his own self. Let him get his own self out.
Right.
You ever had that attitude?
Amen.
Kind of hard not to sometimes.
Right.
But you know what? They're being held captive against their will. Deep down inside, they want out, but they don't know how to get there. Abraham had to make a choice. He said, am I going to go be a soldier? And am I going to go fight? And I'm going to take a chance of giving my life and my liberties for the freedom of another? He had a choice to make. We have some veterans in here. We've had some veterans that's now gone on to be with the Lord. They had a choice to make.
Right.
Fact of the matter is, did you sign up or was you drafted?
Right.
Drafted. He really didn't have a choice, but when he got there, he had a choice.
Right.
When he got there, he had a choice. Am I going to go? And now, I promise you, if I knew his heart, she said in her song that he'd go again. You know what he's just saying? I sure would. He might have got drafted the first time, but he'd go again. He'd go lay everything else aside. His life, his choice, his wishes. To go fight a war that he really didn't want to fight because somebody else's freedom was at stake. Abraham had to make a choice. He went. He got his armed, trained servants. Notice what the Bible says. His choice was that there was a call to arms. Verse says this, and when Abraham heard his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants. It was a call to arms. Understand this, there's only 318 of them. These five kings had just conquered six countries. But there's only 318 of his. He must have been some good soldiers. He must have trained them right. Amen. But there was a call to arms. They said, all right, boys, it's time to go. Time to go? Yeah, we trained for this. Arm up yourself. We're going. We're going to battle. We're going to war. There's those out there that are standing in captivity. They can't free themselves. We have brothers and sisters. There's children. There are those out there that are being held captive, and we're calling to arms. We're going to war. We're going to do whatever we can to set them free. You know what those 318 men did? They said, let's go. Let's go. And then, I believe, just shows you that God's always had a heart for the South. You know what the next word said? And Abraham had a what? Y'all get that in a minute. Miss Fanny done got it. Look in verse number 13. And there came one that escaped and told Abraham, the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner, and these were confederate. I'd apologize if I'd offend any of you Yankees. It's all right. You'll love me anyway. When Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. Understand this. It's one thing to know someone in captivity. It's another thing to do something about someone that's in captivity. The Bible says, well, I don't know how to fight. Or you say, well, I don't know how to fight. I don't know how to do this. All you got to do is follow the leader. Understand, Abraham heard that his brother, notice in verse number 14, and says, then he divided against himself them, he and his servants by night, and he smote them and pursued them. All you've got to do is follow the captain and understand, as Joshua was standing on the land of Canaan there that day, and there all of a sudden the angel of the Lord appeared by him, and Joshua drew out his sword and he said, are you for us or against their adversaries? He said, I ain't neither one. I come to take over. That's what he said. He said, as the captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? You know what he said? He said, I'm captain of them all. I didn't come. I ain't fighting for you or them. He said, I'm just for Jesus. I am Jesus.
Right.
And all you got to do is follow the leader. That's all the soldier had to do. You had to do your duty and your job that was given to you and let those in the higher-ups make all the decisions and the choices. You say, well, how do I fight this war? You just follow God. But understand, there are those out there that are being held captive, and we have a duty and a responsibility to put on our big boy breeches and to put on our big boy boots and be a soldier in this day, and beloved, be willing to give our life for the freedom of somebody else. Because there's a whole lot that's held in captivity. It's not easy. It's not easy. If it was easy, then the devil wouldn't be doing what he's doing. If it was easy, and it was no hardships, he wouldn't have sat in dear hardness as a good soldier. I don't know what it's like to be in war. I hope I never know what it's like to be in war. I don't know what it's like to have bullets being flung at me. I don't know what it's like to have artillery shells going off. I don't know what none of that's like. But I do know what it's like to have the fiery darts of the wicked thrown at me. I do know what it's like to have to deal with the devil. But understand this, I don't know what it's like to lay in a trench and pray to God that you get out of it by morning light. I don't know what it's like to lay in a trench and in the wet and the rain and the mud and praying and wishing that you was back home across the ocean in your own bed. I don't know what that's like. But understand this, he's told us to endure hardness as a good soldier. We as Christians, we think, well, just as soon as the going gets rough, we need to quit. No, he said endure hardness as a good soldier. You really think it was good, easy for Abraham to go in there and his 318 men and conquer all those men and grab Lot and all the belongings and bring them back? It wasn't a walk in the park. I know that the Bible does not go into a whole lot of detail. The Bible does not lay out a whole lot of things. It just says that he divided them up. And what he done, he put one on this side, and one on this side, and one on this side. And he gathered in around them and understand that. But as they went, I want you to understand that there's a conquering to be done of the enemy. You say, well, I can't fight against the devil. That's why you lose all the time. Now, I'm not bringing the relevant accusations against him. Because the Bible said when Michael disputing about the body of Moses did not even bring a relevant accusation against him, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But I do know this, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I do know this, thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I do know this, and having spoiled principalities and all powers, made us show them openly. What that means is that that word show them openly, in those days, in the Roman days, when they would conquer a nation, what they'd do is they'd cut off the thumbs of those kings, they'd also cut off their big toes, they'd put a chain around their neck, and they'd march them down the street of Rome. And what Paul was saying there in Colossians chapter number 1, or chapter number 2, where he's pulled principalities and made a show of them openly. What he done is he harried up the devil and drug him down the street and let all the world know that he had been defeated. Right. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Is anything too hard for God?
No.
318 men put to war, put to silence this uprising of these five kings that had been dwelling for and ruling this and reigning for 14 years. Well, I just don't know how I'm going to reach them. I don't know either. But the captain of our salvation does.
Amen.
He's just wanting to know if we're willing to fight. He's just wanting to know if we're willing to take a stand. He just wants us to... He's just looking for somebody to say, Lord, I'll go. I care enough about that person that's held in captivity that I'll have some sleepless nights. And I'll go on ration food. And I'll dig in the trenches. And I'll take my sword and I'll fight. I'll take some blows and some wounds. I'm willing to risk my life for you to save them. For you to give them freedom. And you to give them liberty. I'm willing to fight. Understand, every war that's ever been fought has been over freedom and captivity. And you and I are on the free side of life. Not just as an American, but as a Christian. Because whom the Son has set free is free indeed. We know what it is to be free. But we also know what it is to be captive. But there are those out there that have been taken captive by the devil. To captive by the enemy at his will. And understand, they may be some. You have to save them with fear, even pulling them from the fire. And all I could think about was this, was, and I don't want to bring back any harsh memories or anything, but I thought about Brother Bobby when I read that this morning, and I don't know if he ever, I know he experienced a lot of things that he don't want to talk about, that I don't know if he ever experienced this or not, but all I could imagine was somebody being wounded and to the point of death. And he'd be under heavy gunfire and heavy bombing. One soldier picking that soldier up that couldn't carry himself and carrying him out of harm's way just to save his life. And others say with fear, pulling him out of the fire. If you don't go, who's going to do it? If you don't volunteer to pull that captive soul, you say, well, the preacher will do it. Understand this. Sergeants don't win wars. It's the soldiers. Am I a soldier? Yeah, just like a sergeant's a soldier or a lieutenant. But they can't do it all. Who is it in your life right now that the Holy Ghost of God has brought to your attention as being put captive by the enemy? Oh, I know you get disgusted with them. You get disheartened with them. But you know there's a conquering to be done. Because I want you to look at this. I know somebody's done closed your Bible. But I want you to look here. And I can't leave you just there. I want you to look here in verse number 16. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. There's a victory that's already been given. There's a conquering that's to be received. Abraham brought them back. Well, I just don't know how one man can do that. One man can't, but God can.
Amen.
Remember, he came there to the kings of Sodom, and they said, you can have it all. He said, I don't want what you got. Came to the kingdom of Melchizedek, was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, which I believe was a pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, according to the book of Hebrews. But anyway, the Bible says he gave him tithes of all. Because he recognized where his victory came from. We can't do it, but we must be willing to pay the price. We must be willing to fight the war. Watch your newscast today and look at the demonic oppression that's upon our society.
Amen.
Read the newspaper. Look, go to town and just watch people. Watch how rude they are. Watch how discouraged they are. Watch how depressed they are. You know what's wrong?
Need Jesus.
They're captive. They're trapped. Right. You know how you make a dog mean? You put him in a cage and you start poking and prodding at him.
Right.
And that's exactly what's wrong with our society today. They're taken captive by. We have the answer. But we need some soldiers. Are you willing to fight? Are you willing to risk life and limb for somebody else's freedom? Somebody risk it for yours. You say, well, it's not ours to give. No, it's His to give. But they're ours to go get. What did we? What was our Sunday school? What was on the prayer request this morning the Lord ever made? He said, pray ye therefore for the Lord of hearts that He'd send forth what? Laborers. He said, I'm just looking for somebody to go. Somebody to stand and somebody to fight. Don't let all these people have died in vain. Don't let our Lord Jesus Christ die in vain.
Amen.
All these martyrs. I was reading Richard Warmbrand this morning. He wrote a book, Tortured for Christ. He was a martyr. If you've never read his book, you ought to read it. He's talking about being in those Russian prison cells for the cause of preaching the gospel. He said they'd have cold boxes that was colder than, it was like 34 degrees right before freezing. And he said that they would stick them in those cold boxes and have doctors watching them. And he said that they would almost get them to the point of death and they'd bring them out and warm them up and they'd put them back in. Then they had nail boxes. And they said they was boxes that they would put you in and made you wear them. And he said they had nails drove through on every side. And he said once your body got tired with fatigue, he said as your body began to slouch and you leaned up against the box, he said the nails would poke and press you, cut into your flesh. He said we would go months or days at a time. He said they would take us to the point of dying of starvation. And he said then they would bring us back to life. You know, that's exactly what the devil's doing to people today. You know why he was in that prison? For preaching the gospel. There was a lady by the name of Mary. She was in Rome. Get this. They tried to get her to deny our Lord. And she wouldn't deny Him. So they beat her and her child. Killed her child, she still wouldn't deny. They took her and turned her out on lines on her. And the lines wouldn't touch her. They kept trying to get her to deny the Lord. They took her and took a hot, red hot chair, stripped her naked, and set her in it. And she still wouldn't deny the Lord. They turned her back on the lines. And the lions wouldn't touch her. They finally hung her up in a bag and beat her in the ring and turned a wild bull in upon her. And when the wild bull got done with her, then they turned the lions in upon her and killed her. All for the sake of Christ. He said, into your hardness is a good soldier. Thank God for those that fought for our freedoms. But thank God those that fought for our salvation and said, I won't deny Him. Because you understand that if they had denied Him, you and I would be eternally lost because we'd have no hope. You say, well, they didn't die. No. But if the gospel could have got stamped out, Christianity is in under war. Are you willing to fight for that one that's in captivity? We're standing all over the house.